of the Lord. We're very happy that you're here with us, and we want to commence our worship with a hymn that Fanny Crosby authored many, many years ago. It is a hymn that is really exalting of the Lord in the sense of lifting His name and praising and blessing Him. It's number 8 in our hymnal, "We Praise Thee, We Bless Thee, Our Savior Divine." As we stand to worship, let's open our hearts and our voices and our minds in thanksgiving and praise to the One who loved us and gave Himself for us. Let's sing to the Lord's praise today. I want us to take a moment now and just settle ourselves in the presence of the Lord and spend a moment in prayerful silence and reflection as we pray today for our nation. We know that we are facing a federal election tomorrow, and we have called for a special season of prayer this afternoon at 5 p.m. We are hoping that as many of you as are bodily able will join us in the basement as we have our prayer time. And if you're not able, then you will connect via Zoom and join with us. We know that there are other evangelical groups who are calling on the Lord at this time, in this juncture of our nation's history. We are in difficult times. Our world today is reeling back and forth. I want to bring you a message today from the Word of God that really is pleading with the God of heaven to intervene in our day, in our nation. And it's a time for heart searching for God's people. Quite frankly, we cannot depend on the ungodly to come to the moment of need. It's only Christians who are called by God to seek His face, to open hearts, to confess our sin, and to pray that God will step in and do what we cannot do ourselves, what we need the Lord to do. So this is an important time. But it's not just for our nation of Canada. It is for this world that is upside down. The thinking of people today is bent and twisted out of order. The foolishness that comes from the hearts of psychologists and humanists today would take every right thing that God says and turn it upside down. The Church of Christ is being persecuted today. We've been praying a lot for believers in Afghanistan, Christians that are now in hiding because of the Taliban and other evil organizations, Christians in North Korea, China, and the threat coming to Hong Kong because of the encroachments of government and evil dictators. These things are pressing all around us today. We live in a land of what we will term today as relative freedom. Not long ago, we would have said we live in a land that is totally free, free speech, free access of religion. But we have seen in the last while things have closed in. And let's not close our eyes nor stick our heads in the sand and think that this could not happen in our nation. It is happening before our eyes. So what are we to do as Christians? We must call upon the Lord, the God of heaven, our God. We must come to Him in humble, earnest prayer. And so that's what we have called, why we have called today, this time of prayer at 5 p.m., and why today I want us all to be settled for a moment and seek God earnestly. Let's come before Him now, please, in prayer. Our Father, as we come to another Lord's Day, to the house of prayer and the place of praise and worship, to the God of heaven, our God, Lord, You are our Father. We humble ourselves this morning in Jesus' holy name. We have no other argument. We have no other plea. We cannot present ourselves by our goodness, our upbringing, our heritage, nationality, denomination. Lord, none of those things avail. But we know that there is a name that does avail, Lord, and we come in that precious name that is above all others, in the name of Christ Jesus, and upon the merit of His atoning sacrifice, Lord, we bow our hearts and our heads today. And we come, Lord, to give thanks and to worship because we have received so much, so many blessings from your kind and gracious hand. And Lord, if we were to enumerate all of the temporal things, it would be a great list. But let us come, Father, to give thanks from our hearts for the greatest blessings that we have, the salvation of our souls, the forgiveness of our sins, the fact that we have a home in heaven and that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Lord, these things are monumental. These things go beyond anything else in this world. And I pray that we would feast ourselves on the riches and the possessions that we have in Christ Jesus today. Let us not be despondent or cast down as we've already, Lord, been thinking about the issues that face our land and this world. But our eyes are not upon those things for any way of deliverance. Our eyes are upon our God. And Lord, we come this day to commit our land, our nation, and the needs that we have before you humbly and earnestly. And Father, as we have committed this day as a day of prayer, and we want to meet specifically this afternoon, Lord, I'm asking that every one of our hearts will be prepared and ready. We've already been seeking. And that we will come with laser focus in our praying, calling down upon us the blessing and the mercy of our God. Lord, turn back that which is evil. Cause there to be a great hindrance to those that would promote wickedness in our land. We pray, Lord, that you would overrule in our election tomorrow, because we know, Father, the Word tells us that one is set in place of authority, another is taken down. And though we may not understand or comprehend the immediate purposes of these things, yet, Lord, we must commit by faith and trust in our sovereign God. For, Lord, as you have a plan, you're working out that plan, and we want to rest in that. We want, Lord, to be content in that. And so I pray today that the peace of God would rule in our hearts. That, Lord, indeed you would wash, and cleanse, and forgive us for all of our sin. And help us to be in the right place at the right time with the right attitude and motive. And that we will see, Lord, the greater picture of Christ's eternal kingdom and the glory of that. And that we would see that man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. To this end, Father, we pray that every faithful tongue in our land would be blessed. Every evangelical witness that is true to the Word of God and true to Christ would be honored and blessed. And that, Lord, it would please you to hear the prayers that are being offered and ascending at this very moment. And in the time changes across our land, the prayers that will be offered today. And that you would step in, Lord, and hear and answer. Father, we know that we are weak in ourselves and we cannot depend on the arm of flesh. And we've been taught that lesson and Lord, we must learn it again and again, it seems. But our prayers that our eyes by faith will be turned ever more heavenward. evermore to the Christ of God. And Lord, as we offer prayers in Jesus' holy and precious name, that they would be abundantly answered. So, Father, remember today in our fellowship those that have specific needs, those that have needs in body. Strengthen them, bless them. Those that have needs in temporal things, Lord, add to them. Those who are in need of employment, answer their prayers and grant to them, Lord, a job that they might work and bring in the necessary money. And Lord, what about those who have some spiritual need, seeking your specific will on an issue, a matter, family concern? Lord, whatever that is, pour out your Spirit abundantly upon your people and answer the prayers that we offer. Let us always be walking in the center of your perfect will. Remember those who are aged today and can't be in the service. We think of Mrs. Campbell today. We pray for her, Sister Jean Bino, Brother Ron. Thankful Brother Richard Teo is able to be with us today. We hold our brother up to the Lord and pray for blessing upon him. We know that others are weak or sick today and set aside. Bless them abundantly, Lord. Watch over every family. Keep us from virus and sickness of all dimension and kind. Help us, Lord, in our time to be a very bright light. We want to be healthy and strong so that we will be able to be a witness for our God in our time, in whatever way you see fit, Lord. So, Father, hear our prayer today. We think of our brother George, Sister Linda, as they're in Fredericton today, in the church there. Bless them. Be with our brother as he leads the ministry today in that place. We think of all of our churches across this nation of Canada in our denomination. Bless each one of them. Remember all of our pulpits that don't have under shepherds at this time. Father, fill those places according to your time and divine will. Father, hear now our prayers. Be with us today as we continue in our song and praise. And now as we sing the words of Psalm 2, we ask, Lord, that it would be from our hearts a song of praise to thy holy name. Hear us now. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Well, let's do just that now. We'll stand again to sing praise to the Lord, Psalm 2. solemn words, Psalm 2, and as the person speaking through the psalm, of course, we know a human author, but directed by God's Holy Spirit, and God is speaking here, and it's amazing to follow through the theme of Him speaking about His anointed Son, and how He has exalted Christ above all the thrones of this world. And now He calls all men, all people from all ages, to bow down and humble themselves before the Son, His only begotten Son, in order that they might know truth and peace in their own hearts. May God bless us as we have sung together this psalm. And now please, as we read from Psalm 33, you turn with me in your own Bibles to Psalm 33. We will read this together. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. What a great way to start a psalm and to start your day. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely. It is fitting for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto Him with the psaltery and with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of His habitation, He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death, to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in Thee. Well, what can we say after reading such a psalm? Will the Lord bless His word to our hearts? There most definitely is a blessing that He gives to the reading by faith of His word. Let it be written on our souls. Let us commit it to our memory and pray it back to the Lord often in our own devotional time. We welcome you all today to the Lord's house. Again, we're very happy that you're here. And we say that every Lord's Day, every service virtually, but these are not just words. We want you to know you're very, very welcome. We're happy that you're here. We're glad that God has given you health and strength to be here. And if you're visiting, we do have some visitors today. And if this is your first time, you're very welcome. And if you've returned again, you are very, very welcome. So good to see Hyacinth and Clifton here in the service today. We have missed seeing you folks for a long time now. And we're happy that you're back with us in person. And that is very, very good. The Lord keep his hand upon you for good. And those viewing our service online today, you are very welcome. We're happy that you've joined with us. And we pray that God would richly bless you. Already mentioned in the opening prayer about some of our seniors who are not able to be here. Let's continue to hold them up before the Lord. A good way is to go through the phone directory. If you can't, just place the names always and just pray over the names of the folks who are there. And the ones who can't be here, Mrs. Campbell, Sister Jean Bino, happy that my own mom is able to be with us here today. And, well, others who are just set aside sometimes, not able to be out. We thank God for the strength he gives for them to be here. Let's not forget to pray for the persecuted church across our world and asking for God to keep his hand upon them and bless them in safety and help them to be a positive and a good witness. Thank you for your ongoing prayers for our school. We thank you for them. But sometimes, you know, the tendency is to pray when there's the start of the year or some pressing need, and then we might forget a little bit. But I want to ask you and encourage you each day, hold up the ministry of our school of Whitfield, praying for all of our teachers and those involved in ministry of any dimension, helpers, and our students and our parents, that God would bless them. Tomorrow our school will be used as a polling station. In fact, I think there are three different polls that are going to be run from the school tomorrow. It's going to be a very busy day, and so the principal decided it would be better not to have school with the children there, and so it will be a professional development day. Our staff members will use the time wisely and be doing some in-house study and preparation and doing some lectures that they'll be given. But do remember, please, as all of those, the election things take place tomorrow in our local school. Already mentioned about our brother George, Sister Linda. They traveled down to Fredericton to be with the congregation there to visit. And our brother George is bringing the word today. In fact, he already will have done that. They're an hour ahead of us. So we thank God for their safety and travel. Do bless the congregation. We pray for the congregation that the Lord will bless them and help them abundantly. We had a very good day yesterday in the youth, the young adult fellowship. And it was good to see a very good turnout. And some of the able-bodied ones are still here with us today in the service. And we're thankful for that. They tried to give their pastor a hard time yesterday. But I'm still here. And some maybe are not here. Well, we want to remember all of those ones today as well. But we thank God for a great day, great time of fellowship, good fun. And we rejoice in the Lord's hand upon us. Let's pray, please, for all of our young people, young adults. And more than ever in our day, they need the prayers of God's people. And we don't want to forget about them at all. So today at 5 p.m., we will remember our time of prayer. If you did not get the Zoom link and you cannot be with us in person, well, you can speak to one of the brethren in the radio room, the webcasting room, and they will get a link to you so you can join us in the time of prayer this afternoon. We're looking forward to having some of the folks from our Cloverdale congregation also joining us in prayer, and also Port Hope. Brother Cranston will be joining as well, and this is an important time for us to be united in our call upon God. Wednesday evening, our Bible study and prayer time at 7:30, and session and board members, please remember at 6:30, we want to meet in the parking lot. as we have to discuss some issues regarding the grounds and the property. And so please, men, remember that if at all possible to be here. Then on Friday night, looking forward to a good time of fellowship and an opportunity of expressing appreciation to our Sunday school teachers. And so we'll be meeting here in the church at 7 p.m. on Friday night. Looking forward to that. And whether you have been recently retired or you've been connected with our Sunday school in any way, we want to make sure that you are going to be here. That's an important time of fellowship. We're looking forward to it. Remember that this Friday. We also are looking forward to the recommencement of our Sunday school on October the 3rd. That's the first Lord's Day of October. We'll be having communion, Lord willing, on that same day. But at 9:55 is the start time for our Sunday school. The adults, the adult class, meeting downstairs in the main hall. So remember that. Don't go by the old rotation of just coming and sitting here, but make your way downstairs. There's an elevator if you need to use that to get downstairs. And that's where the opening and the adult class will be. The young people's class, young adults, will be upstairs in the room that previously it was held. And for the junior department, it will be held in the sunshine room downstairs. All the young people will be gathered, all the boys and girls from the junior department. And we want to look forward to that. Let's all be asking the Lord to give help and direction and His hand to be upon us. That's all the ministry we want to share with you today of things that are happening. We're going to sing again to the Lord's praise, number 248, Grace That Is Greater Than All Our Sin. Remaining seated, please, while we sing. Let's stand, please, as we sing this final verse. Amen. Ask you to turn, please, in your Bibles to Psalm 79. Psalm 79. Some of you may notice that I'm limping a little bit, and I would like to be able to blame it on the events of yesterday with the youth, but I can't because it was something I did a while ago, and I stepped off a ladder. I was doing a little bit of painting at the school, stepped off a ladder, but I stepped off from a step that was a bit too high, and I came down on the bad knee, at least on my foot, and twisted a little bit. So that's what's happened right now. So I can't blame it on anything yesterday, but if you see me limping, it's nothing serious, just a little bit of a setback. So anyways, we're going to read now, please, from Psalm 79. And as you will know from this reading, it is a solemn passage of God's Word. Let's bring our hearts before the Lord as we read this psalm. O God, the heathen are come into thine inheritance. Thy holy temple have they defiled. They have laid Jerusalem on heaps. The dead bodies of thy servants have they given to be meat unto the fowls of heaven, the flesh of thy saints unto the beasts of the earth. Their blood have they shed like water round about Jerusalem, and there is none to bury them. We are become a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and derision to them that are round about us. How long, Lord, wilt thou be angry forever? Shall thy jealousy burn like fire? Pour out thy wrath upon the heathen that have not known thee, and upon the kingdoms that have not called upon thy name. For they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his dwelling place. Oh, remember not against us former iniquities. Let thy tender mercies speedily prevent us, go before us, for we are brought very low. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is their God? Let him be known among the heathen in our sight by the revenging of the blood of thy servants which is shed. Let the sighing of the prisoner come before thee. According to the greatness of thy power, preserve thou those that are appointed to die. And render unto our neighbors sevenfold into their bosom their reproach, wherewith they have reproached thee, O Lord. So we thy people and sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. Bow with me, please, for prayer. Father, with the word, thy word open now before us, give us understanding hearts. Show us, Lord, the way we are to go. Change our hearts to be more conformed to to the image of Jesus, our Savior. Let us walk before Him in truth, in light, in purity. Help us, Lord, in our time. We have already asked, Lord, in this service for Your intervention, help. And I pray that now as we look at the Scripture, that the Word would be in our hearts and that You would answer speedily. Bless us now today. Lift up Thy Son, we ask, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. God's intervention in Canada. That would be the title for this word today. God's intervention in Canada. We know that tomorrow in our land, we are faced with another federal election, September the 20th, 2021. And we have set aside special time of prayer today. And it is to call upon God to intervene in our land and to make use of us so that we will make a difference in our time. We do not take confidence in politicians or in political parties, but we do encourage every citizen to exercise their right to vote, remembering in that our only hope is in the Lord. Our only call and cause for deliverance is from Him. One of the great dangers that Christians have fallen into in church history is in a time of great political disaster, in a time of great spiritual need, is seeking for help from political sources other than from the Lord Himself. And that is the wrong way about it. Yes, we know that God sets up one authority here and takes down another over here. Yes, we know that we are called as citizens of a land to exercise, to be about the practical needs of our land, but all along, we will do as Cromwell said to his army, trust in God and keep your powder dry. Good advice. To any observant, God-fearing mind, and I have to say it that way, the state of our land, morally, ethically, financially, and spiritually, is not good. To say nothing about the increasing violence and the murder of the innocents through abortion and the great promotion today of euthanasia in our land, and almost everything that God calls right and good is called evil and bad. The issue that impacted Israel in this psalm that we have before us, there were severe problems. And though the issues are different by detail today for us, we are nonetheless facing severe problems. Now, the first half of this psalm, it makes for rather dark and depressive reading. It's about the destruction of Jerusalem and the wholesale massacre of God's people. where the cruelty of the destroyers and the extent of the devastation is summed up in this fact that the bodies of God's people were left open for the birds of the air and the beasts of the field to devour. The streets of Jerusalem were running with the blood of God's people, and there were none to bury the putrefying corpses. This is a horrible scene. Well, this psalm may well have been taking place, the events of it, around the time of Nebuchadnezzar, when he razed Jerusalem to the ground, destroying the temple, slaughtering countless people, and taking so many into captivity. It very well may have something to do with the events that happened during Antiochus and how he defiled the temple, or maybe looking ahead to the Roman general Titus in 70 AD when he again destroyed Jerusalem in a very great slaughter. But what brought on such desolation to a nation and to a city that was set apart by God and so blessed? Blessed with more blessings than any other nation under heaven. It was sin. Disregard for God's holy word. Rejection of the many warnings that were given to repent. My dear brothers and sisters, can we see today in our land a parallel? The nation of Canada has a heritage of Christianity. The Bible is inscribed on the walls of our parliament buildings. It is found in the towers of round Parliament Hill, in the stained glass windows, in the bricks and mortar, the Word of God is inscribed. The Bible was a major part of the early education systems of our nation. The Ten Commandments and the Lord's Prayer were recited daily, virtually. The courts of our land require that a person would swear on the Bible that they were telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Our politicians at least gave some kind of formal recognition to morality of the Bible, and they would start their sessions of Parliament with prayer in Jesus' name. But now much of that has changed. And God and His Word has been discarded. If not discarded, it has been utterly rejected. It's been disdained as not speaking to the moral advancement of an enlightened world. The saying goes like this: I will determine my own moral standard, my own gender. I will self-identify as to what I think I am or what I want to be. My own definition of marriage, of family, my own definition of ethics and morality, my own definition as to when I determine a fetus will become a human being or when it's just tissue that can be discarded. And everything that is based upon this moral standard has a subjectivity connected to it. It's all relative to the current shifting sands of a humanity and a thinking and philosophy that's all over the place. And so what's good for this moment, this time period, is the moral standard for the day. And the objective moral truth of God's holy word is set aside and cast off as being archaic, old, for a past generation. Not something that we will submit ourselves to. And so the outcome is a society that is running headlong down to hell, completely on the slippery slope to destruction. And society, in this sense, just they don't know what to do when the problems arise, when crime increases, and drug addiction, and mental problems come, and our hospitals and society are overwhelmed. What to do? Oh, we don't. We better educate people in this way. We better try to fix it here. Never thinking for a moment that the root cause is a wholesale rejection of God's word in our nation, and a turning away from the Lord and embracing sin to the rejection of God's word completely. Our nation has received so much blessing from God. If we were to begin to even think about the natural resources that we have in our nation. Now, what about the fresh water that we have in this land? Do you know that in Ontario, 25% of the world's fresh water is located in our province? Any wonder why the name Ontario, Sparkling Waters, is a fitting name? Farmable land. Not to mention, my friend, those are all temporal things. What about the spiritual benefits that have been upon our land because of God-fearing people over generations? But today, we are in great need of God's help. And that is why the burden on my heart this morning and for our day, the Lord's Spirit directed me to verse 9 of Psalm 79. And this was the cry, the plea, "Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us, and purge away our sins for thy name's sake." Oh, may God burn his word upon our hearts today. May he help us. Help us, O God of our salvation, and deliver us. This is the first point I leave with you. Here is a direct plea for help. A direct plea for help. And in this, my dear friends, clearly the psalm writer recognized that he had a need. There was a recognition of a need. You know, a cry for help is clearly just that. It's when, quite frankly, friend, you cannot help yourself. There's no aid that you can bring to the table to get yourself out of the problem. I mean, if someone who is drowning could save themselves, they would not cry out for help. But someone who is at the point of drowning is because they either cannot swim or they have been weighted down by problems or difficulties that they cannot get their head above water, or the current is pulling them under the water. Unless, of course, someone is playing games and they are crying wolf, as the story of the young boy who did that to his own hurt, when finally the wolf was coming and no one responded any longer to his cry. But these calls for help, it's something that people respond to. I don't know if you've ever heard someone really call for help before. I was racking my mind to think if I've ever really been in that situation. But if someone in your hearing is crying out with a shrill of their voice in such desperation that you know right away there's not someone playing games here, your attention is immediately drawn to them, and you will do what you can if you are any kind of a human being at all. You will do what you can to go and aid them. What parent would turn away their ear from a cry of help of their child. When that would occur, you go immediately, you drop everything and you go to help your child. At that time, I read recently about a mother whose child was taken away by a bear, and the bear had the child in its jaws, and the mother went after the bear and beat it and pounded on it and punched it until the bear let go of the child and ran off. A mother would not even think twice about doing that. You've heard stories about people lifting up cars because their loved one is underneath the vehicle. Yes, the cry for help. You respond, friend. You respond. But I say to you today that if you have been a Christian for any length of time and you have faced trials and temptations that have been brought on by the devil, your evil enemy, then you have used this word in your desperate prayer. Maybe you're a young believer and you haven't actually got to that point in your life yet. Okay, don't rush it, but it will come. There will be a time in your Christian experience when something will occur and you will cry out because you have nothing else to pray and you have nothing else to say. You will just say in your desperation, "Help me, Lord." This is where the psalm writer was. As believers in our place, in our land, of all the forces of darkness that are working against Christ and His church, is it not today a time of urgency for us to cry out for help unto the Lord? To cry out and say, "Lord, you must intervene immediately in our land. Nothing else will do. We cannot have deliverance from any place else." Because when we cry for help and deliverance, the ear of God, my friends, it cannot turn away. He cannot turn away from you. If you are His child, when the Lord hears your cry, He comes to your aid. We belong to Him. Yes, we are, and we have a blood relation to our Father in heaven through Christ Jesus. We are His children. And so when His children come to call upon Him, yes, my dear friends, there is a realization of our need as we cry out for help. But you will notice also here the relationship of grace that is connected in this verse of Scripture, because what does He say? "Help us, O God of our salvation." It means that we belong to the Lord. It means that He is ours and we are His. He is the God of our salvation. And friend, if you know Christ today, if He is in your heart and life, and you belong to Him and you know Him as your own, then you can say, "Oh God of my salvation." And when you utter such a prayer, when you come before the Lord on the ground of your relationship of grace with Christ, then the Lord cannot turn His ear away from you. It is an impossibility. No, friend, we have a relationship that is based upon the rock of our salvation, the rock Christ Jesus. And when the Lord took us out of our sin and He placed us upon Christ Jesus, He put a new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God. And that song is a song of the redeemed, a song of the relationship of grace. And therefore, as we approach, it's based on that sovereign, rich, and free grace of our God. Undeserved. Of course it's undeserved, but that's what grace is. It's the Lord giving to us what we do not deserve. It's unmerited because we could never, ever work our way to receive such wonderful, matchless grace that we've been singing about today already. Yes, we are so unworthy, just as Israel was. And I believe that's why they had every reason to follow up the cry of help by saying, "Oh God of our salvation, we have nowhere else to turn. We have nowhere else to go. You are our God. And therefore we come, Lord, to pray for help." This is what Israel did. And Moses, at the very final words of Deuteronomy 33 and verse 29, he said, "Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency, and thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places." You may or may not just have quick recollection to Israel when they were in the battle against the Philistines at a place called Mizpah. And Samuel offered the sacrifice. And when he offered the sacrifice, God moved to defeat their enemies. And after that, there was a song of praise that Israel offered to God. And the song of praise followed when Samuel took a stone and he set it between Mizpah and Shen. And he called the name of that stone Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." And our help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And oh, friend, today we must trust in the Lord with all our hearts. "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." When King Asa, king of Judah, cried unto the Lord his God, and he said, "Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against us." Yes, my dear friends, here was a call and a cry unto the living God for help. But I want you to notice in the second place today, there was an honest confession of sin. For he said here in this verse 9, he said, "Purge away our sins." Purge away our sins. From this psalm, we learn that it was not a time for national pride, or it was not a time for blaming others for the plight that they were under. It was a time of heart searching for the people, self-examination, of true humility, of admitting that much of what had come on the land was because God's people had forsaken God's law. And they had neglected them, set them aside. And I want to say that for us today in our nation, we dare not ever be smug as Christians and think when we're coming to God in a time of national and personal need, to think, "Oh, that's somebody else's sin that's brought all this along." Beware of that spirit. Because the very psalmist was prepared to say, "Lord, come and purge away our sins." Not their sins, but ours. There's a time for honest confession of our own failings before the Lord, and that the Lord would be perfectly justified if He cut us loose and let our nation just shrivel up and be turned over to the heathen completely. See, when leaders of nations have humbly sought God in repentance and called the citizens to earnest prayer, the Lord has been pleased to step in and to heal the land. But this is a very rare thing, even among Christian nations. And the Lord has commanded His people that we are to pray for them in authority over us. And we can't forget that. The Lord has commanded us to do that so that we might live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. But it's not from godless leaders that we can expect deliverance. I already mentioned that. It is not from them that Christians should expect sympathy, because the world is against believers for the most part. And yet we are to call upon God to restrain those from their evil policies and platforms. But is it not, my friend, the failure of Christian pulpits in our land? Has it not been part of the problem that we are facing today of declaring the word of the Lord, of exposing the nation's sins and the need for us to seek repentance? We cannot look to the apostate denominations of our land, of the Presbyterian Church or the Anglican or Baptist or Lutheran or any other ones who have left the moorings of God's word. We can't depend on them or that. No. It has to be on truly evangelical believers, those who love God's word and are true children of Christ. We're seeking for the Lord's mercy and for restoring that which has been lost. This prayer for the purging away of our sin, it calls for deep inner honesty. If we have become conditioned by our own habits and we are zapping away, in one sense, the Spirit's power from our lives because of things that have come into our lives and have filled them up, and we become accustomed to them and we're comfortable with them, perhaps the things we are or we have come to justify as okay, could it be that they are weights upon us that are holding us back? Is it possible? This is where, when Christians, when we become serious before God and we are prepared to put our lives on the altar of sacrifice for service, when we surrender ourselves, confessing our faults and our failures, not just as, well, it's the right thing to do, it's like a sound bite in a prayer meeting, but it comes from our hearts. It's said before God and not before men. Some may think that if the Bible predicts that in the last days, scoffers and God deniers will increase, and the man of sin that is predicted and prophesied to come, that will usher in the great mystery of iniquity, a wholesale lawlessness across the world. Well, some might wonder, well, should we be praying for the Lord to revive us then? Should we be praying for God to restrain evil? Most definitely, believer, we should. Because the Lord has given to us many examples through the Scripture of His people in times of great encroachment of wickedness, that His people are called to pray, called to confess, called to seek the Lord for a restraining of that evil and a turning back of that which is against His word. Yes, we are to fight against apostasy and demonic oppression. We are to be a light. And you know, God has answered the prayers of His people both in delivering them in such times and in the reviving of His church in such times. Yes, when they have sought God earnestly with repentance and turning away from the evil. That's the very heart and gist of 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. You see, when God hears His own elect, redeemed people cry for help, He will not. Friend, He cannot turn away. Mr. Spurgeon commented on this verse of Scripture. He said, "Pardon of sin is sought as well as removal of chastisement. And both are asked not as matters of right, but as gifts of grace." God's name is a second time brought into the pleading. Believers will find it their wisdom to use very frequently this noble plea. It is the great sum and gun of the battle, the mightiest weapon in the armory of prayer, calling upon the name of the Lord. He is our God. And Lord, we come to pray that He will purge our sins away. And we must, by faith, my dear friends, trust in the holy purpose of God and leave everything before Him and everything in His hands, and trust in Him at all times. I close with the third point this morning. Our only legitimate motive, our only legitimate motive, it is for the glory of Thy name, for Thy name's sake. If we're going to come before the Lord and try to argue, "Well, Lord, don't You see that we deserve better than what we're getting right now?" To those people who are in prison or under the heavy arm of Christian persecution, if they were to argue, "Lord, don't You see that we deserve better than this?" If we were to argue in our land of Canada, "Don't You see that the people in Ottawa or the politicians, that they're doing this and this and this? We deserve better than this, Lord, because we are Your people." It's for the glory of God's name. And here the psalmist in two places says this: "For the glory of Your name, for Your name's sake, Lord." And when we pray for help and deliverance for our land, let this be the underlying motive. It's the glory of our God alone and nothing else. The world wants COVID to be over so that they can get back to life the way it was before. Get back to lifestyles the way they were before. Get back to enjoying the pleasures of sin and all things that they enjoyed before, uninterrupted. This has been repeated over and over again on radio and television, social media. Let's get back to the way things were before. If everyone just cooperated, it would all be good. But this is not for the honor of God's name. It's not for the honor of the Lord of heaven. It is to return to the undisturbed lives of sin and living as if there was no God at all. That's what the world would desire. But for the Christian, when we pray for God's will to be done, it's not only to do with COVID. It is to do with every situation, with every government, every country. And it all must be, my friends, for the glory of Christ Jesus and for the honor of our Father in heaven, for the glory of Him. Let his name not be secondary in our praying or our thinking. You see, when we come to pray and we conclude our prayer in Jesus' name, do you know what we're praying? We are praying for the glory of Jesus. That's why we're asking these things. And Lord, look down for the honor of Christ Jesus and answer our prayers by your will for the honor of your Son. I think sometimes our prayers are rather selfishly motivated, and they may not be for the Lord's glory itself. When Joshua and his army had defeated Jericho, well, they were elated. It was a great victory. And they went then to the next one, Ai, small city, small people. And they were defeated. They were chased by the army of Ai. And Joshua is now on his face before God, lamenting. And rightly so. He said, Lord, what will we do when the Canaanites now turn against us? And they're not going to think now very rightly of our name. And what about the fact that we've been humiliated before all the peoples of this land? And Lord, what are we going to say when the enemies have turned, we have turned our back on our enemies? Sadly to say, the majority of Joshua's prayer then was all to do with himself and Israel. But the very last phrase of his prayer was this. And what about your name, Lord? What about your great name? He finally got to it, but it took a while. And my dear friends, the Lord will give answer and victory in our lives, in our circumstances. We ought to be careful we don't take up the same line as Joshua did, because the Lord will test us in our faith. He will test us and He will search us out to see just how honest we are before Him. And in the searching out of the Lord, can we pray, Lord, I don't know what you're doing in my life or in our land, but I pray it will be for your glory and the glory of your name. Doesn't mean we should not be specific. It does not mean we should not pray for the Lord to turn back wickedness. That's according to His word. We do want to be mindful that we always submit ourselves to the sovereign hand and purposes of our great God. And can we, as His children, be content to rest in that place? Yes, my friend, here in this Psalm 79 and verse 9, there is a direct plea for help. And it's what we should do, is call upon the Lord for help. There was an honest confession of sin, and the only legitimate motive was for the glory of God Himself. I pray that the Lord will write this truth upon every one of our hearts for His own glory. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we humble ourselves. And we would recite again the words of this prayer. It is from our heart, Lord. And we pray that you will work deeply in us. Where, Lord, we have deficiencies, where we have our faults and failings, come and repair, Lord. Help us. Forgive us. Bless us in our own hearts. We know, Lord, that though things may be very difficult around, our hope and our eyes are heavenward. And we will say, as the psalmist did in 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. So hear our prayer today. Father, work in the hearts of everyone. Perhaps some are not saved. Even visitors in the church today without Christ. Oh God, speak to their hearts and bring them to the foot of the cross and save them. Hear, Lord, we pray. Part us now in your fear with your rich blessing. We ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen.